Welcome to Car Stuff, a production of iHeartRadio's How Stuff Works. Hello and welcome to Car Stuff. I'm your host, Scott Benjamin. I'll start again.
Wait, which one of us?
I just forgot.
You do.
Normally you go next.
Okay.
Normally.
All right. Sorry, guys.
It's all right. No problem.
Hello and welcome to Car Stuff. I'm your host, Scott Benjamin.
I'm Ben Bolin.
And I am Kurt Guerin.
And today, guys, I think we've got a treat for our listeners. I hope we do, anyways.
Mm-hmm.
At least it's for us, anyway. It was fun looking this stuff up. I think today what we'll talk about is famous car collectors or celebrity car collectors or people that are known to have enormous collections of vehicles that are unique or strange or interesting in some way. And I ran into a few snags along the way that we'll probably talk about as we get to them because there are a few people on this list that I've got three or four pages of people here listed, just kind of laundry listed, lots of them, that are credited with having car collections that I'm not so sure about.
Yeah, you know, I may have found something similar while we were doing some digging on this, but I propose then that we additionally consider ranking these car collectors or collections in an entirely arbitrary fashion, just based on what we find here. It's so interesting. We've done stuff like we previously did an episode, I believe, on the car collection of the Sultan of Brunei, which we've got to at least give an honorable mention.
Can I just say something about this? Because
yeah.
I looked that up today knowing that we were going to talk about this, and I figured he would come up at some point, somehow. So the Sultan's car collection, as of 2019, the most recent article I could find, and I don't, again, all the numbers on these are completely not credible. I mean, the sources that you get this information from is like filtered through many, many people. So you get numbers like this. His car collection is somewhere between 5 and 7,000 cars. 5 and 7,000, that's a huge number, a discrepancy between 5 and 7,000.
And they're not all Yugos.
Yeah, they're not, definitely not. But you know what? I would tend to believe the 5,000 number, maybe close to that, you know, somewhere around there. Now, of course, it could have grown, but, you know, 7,000, that's an awful lot. And, of course, the value then, you know, someone throws a value on it, and that gets inflated or deflated along the way as well. So I've seen numbers as high as $2.3 trillion in value for this collection. Now, there's a lot of problems with those numbers, I know. You know, I mean, that's a huge number to begin with. And we've seen photos from inside, right?
That's true, yeah.
And a lot of them were covered in moss inside. They were neglected, a lot of them.
Mm-hmm.
There's also a prince involved in this whole thing who has an equally impressive car collection.
Right.
That is known as part of the Sultan's collection, I believe, or there's some kind of tie-in there. I'd have to go back to the old Car Stuff episode and check it out to figure out exactly what is happening there between the two collections, but they're somehow intertwined.
Prince Jeffrey is the Sultan's brother.
That's the one.
He's the scar to the Mufasa. I saw a I saw an estimated value of $300 million,
okay,
which I thought was high, but I find much more believable than anything touching a trillion.
Okay, $2.3 trillion and then 7,000 cars. I don't know. I'm just not buying those numbers.
I don't understand how that math would work.
No, you know I don't think so either. Again, you're going to find a variety of numbers and estimated values associated with this collection along the way. But the ones that we're talking about today, you're going to find a couple of equally wacky claims, I think, but you just have to kind of read between the lines. Like there's some amount of truth to all of these that you'll read. Some are dead accurate, some down to the very vehicle, as of the time of this recording, that, you know, we found credible sources and we found the exact number of vehicles and, you know, the estimated value by the owner and that type of thing. But for the most part, it's like, yeah, they got a whole fleet of this type of vehicle and that's interesting because of this. And we'll kind of plow through it that way if you want to simplify this whole thing.
For sure. I'm excited to see where this goes. Who wants to do the honors? Who's going to kick off our first collector? Now that we've completely disrespected the legacy of the Sultan of Brunei, who, by the way, does have the means to get to us.
You know what? I think, do you mind if I start here with a couple of not current but historical collectors that I think we should probably mention?
Oh, yeah, please.
By historical, I mean we've talked about them in the past. They're maybe collectors from decades past that we don't necessarily think about, or they don't pop up on these lists that we search for and you know, try to find when we, you know, like the most impressive car collections, the most expensive car collections. You know, a guy like Bill Hara doesn't come up on the list very often, although he had an incredible collection that was, I think, eventually dispersed recently in a large auction or auctions, I should say, somewhere between like, he's had around 1,400 cars in his collection. Now, this is a guy that made his money out of, you know, he's a casino magnate.
Right.
Reno, Nevada, not Las Vegas, like a lot of people think, but Reno, Nevada. There's also, think about George Barris. Barris was a builder, but he was also a car guy, a collector. Mm-hmm. You know, this is a car guy. You know, he had an incredible car collection for himself, not just, you know, the products that were coming in and going out of his door. And the last one I want to mention, maybe, Elvis. We don't think of Elvis all that often anymore on this show. We've mentioned him in the years past, and for a while, we were kind of in a groove where we were talking about Elvis many, many times.
He just kept coming up, the thing.
He did. There was like this surge of popularity in Elvis's cars, or, you know, Elvis trivia. I don't remember if it was like an anniversary of his death or something. I don't remember what happened, but for a while, there were Elvis cars touring and, you know, being like shown in museums, and, you know, they'd have bullet holes in the steering wheel and things. You know, from Elvis shooting them when he was mad when they wouldn't start. But God, I think he ended up giving away more cars than he actually kept, really. But known for his Cadillacs, of course. So I had an impressive collection. I know that at Graceland, there is a relatively impressive collection of cars at Graceland still, if you want to go check those out.
Mm-hmm.
But, of course, King's long gone, unfortunately. And have to just assume that his collection isn't really going to grow in the near future.
That's true. Going back to George Barris real quick, though, I can't remember if I told you guys off air. You know, I went out to see the Peterson Museum recently, which we'll do it. That's its own episode, I think. But I saw something that I had never seen before, and maybe it's because I was a little too young for it. George Barris, we all know he made the Batmobile. Right? Mm-hmm. He also made a car for the Joker.
Oh, really?
It's the 1966 Mongrel T.
Oh, cool.
Those are surfboard seats here. It's covered in the most ridiculous Dr. Seussian kind of ornamentation and garish paint. But I want to dive into that. I just didn't know the Joker had his own car.
I don't think I realized that either. I mean, Kurt, we didn't come across that when we were talking about the 70s Hot Rods.
No.
I honestly don't think it belongs in that kind of conversation because it is so ridiculous. But it's the one that stopped me. Because, you know, a lot of times when you go to a museum or something, you think you have kind of a grasp of what sort of stuff you're going to see, whether it's an art museum, whether it's, of course, in our case, an auto museum. I also saw, we should probably also mention Bruce Meyer, founder of the Peterson Museum. He has an entire collection of vehicles there. But I think the thing is, these people that we're naming so far, I feel like everybody expects them to have a car collection.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Think you're right. Yeah. So there's some unexpected ones along the way as well. Hey, Kurt, did you find a car collector that surprised you?
Yeah, well, I didn't expect Ralph Lauren to have such a car collection.
I wouldn't have
associated him with automobiles, but his collection is very impressive.
Now, this is news to me. Does he specialize in certain vehicles? Like, you know, some people...
Very nice ones. Yeah, his is very well curated, very well taken care of. Lots of Ferraris, Mercedes.
His collection,
like,
I believe, travels the world, or it has in the past. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I don't know if it still does. It's based primarily in New York, right? Mm-hmm. But his thing, if I'm not mistaken, Kurt, is that he decides, and you're right, they're all immaculate vehicles. They're all works of art to him.
Yeah.
And I think I saw a quote somewhere from him. He said he never even considers himself a collector, which I thought was really weird. He considers himself... What did he say, man? He says the cars are more like a part of him.
He comes at it in a different way.
They are beautiful, though. I mean, they're concours level vehicles, every one of them.
Mm-hmm.
They're amazing.
That raises another point that I think can go into our rating system for car collectors, which is, you know, there is, I think, a bright line drawn between the people who collect cars as objects or people who collect cars that they want to use. They want to take them out. They want to drive them themselves. You know, there are several collectors we'll get to who are famous for, especially with older cars, for actually knowing how to operate them, which sadly sometimes, you know, people get so carried away with the money that they just buy these things and they hide them in a garage and they rot away like, no offense if you're listening, the Sultan of Brunei.
Mm-hmm. I also find that a lot of these collectors will kind of covet a certain type of like a model or a make, and they'll collect many, many of that make or model and kind of forget about the other types of vehicles that are in that class of vehicle as well. And I don't know. To me, you know, it's an interesting collection to have, you know, 10 or 15 Ferraris in your collection. Sure. I mean, who wouldn't love that? But also at the same time, wouldn't it be kind of cool to have five and then, you know, five of something else and then five of something else that are in a similar fashion? You know, if it's a sports car, a luxury car, whatever it happens to be, a race car maybe. Mm-hmm. I think it would be a more interesting collection maybe if it was like a little bit more variety, I suppose.
Yeah.
And you don't find that with too many of the people that I found on these lists. So if you don't mind, I'll jump right in. One guy that does have a huge variety, and I feel like we just have to say this right up front, and I think we all know who I'm going to mention
first. I feel like I know. Do you feel like you can guess, Kurt?
This is just
I do.
This is just to get at this out of the way, because everybody talks about this guy with his cars. It's Jay Leno, of course, right? And as of, okay, this is, again, the most recent I could find, but as of December 30th, 2019, so only about a month ago this is recorded, or so, he has approximately 181 cars and 160 motorcycles. Now, I'll be honest with you. I thought he actually had more than that.
Yeah, I did too.
Here's the interesting thing, and this is really cool about Jay Leno, is that he likes to drive them. He likes to make sure that they all operate. He knows the ins and outs of all of them. He knows the mechanics. He loves to talk about them, loves to get them out on the road. The interesting thing about his collection is that he's continually buying and selling his cars. So it's always changing. There's always something new, something fresh there.
And he knows how they work. This is the guy I was talking about. He owns a 1909 Stanley Steamer. And he knows how to operate.
Yeah, which is really cool.
That's impressive.
I hope that's one he never gets rid of, because that's just such a fascinating piece of his collection, I know. We've seen that one on video being started and operated, and it's always interesting to watch someone start a car with a fire underneath.
It takes like 20 to 30 minutes to get that thing ready to go.
You know what? It's funny. I was really kind of digging into this collection just because, you know, we've seen, it's kind of a mythical collection, right? I mean, everybody, you see little bits and pieces of it on Jay Leno's garage, and you've seen him around town on them, and you know he's got a huge collection. A lot of people stop by with their vehicle and let him drive. So that's kind of not a decoy, not a red flag, what a red herring, whatever. Mm-hmm. Someone stops in and says, "Hey, here's our product. Why don't you drive it and tell us what you think?" And then they drive home with it. You know, it's their own car. But he owns a lot of these himself, of course. And his estimated value of his collection, somewhere around $52 million. Again, I said it's 181 cars, 160 motorcycles. Of course, that's an estimate only. But I want to tell you this about one specific vehicle, because they did ask him in the DuPont registry what the most valuable car in his collection is, and I think he said that it was his McLaren F1, and that's a car we've, you know, focused on in the past, a very specific vehicle that we've talked about, and that vehicle alone, just that one car in his collection, valued somewhere between $14 and $17 million for that one vehicle in his collection. And I found out something kind of interesting about this. The F1, the McLaren F1, is so valuable as a collector vehicle, and so rare at this point, that even at McLaren's headquarters, if you were to travel to McLaren's headquarters, you would find that they are unable to keep more than three examples under the same roof at any one time, because their insurance company forbids them to do so, because the value of them is so high. So if there was something to happen to the building, a fire, whatever, a flood, I don't know, they're not allowed to have more than three, even at McLaren headquarters, under the same roof. They have to store them in separate facilities if they happen to have more than three. So I thought that was pretty cool. I never had learned that about F1.
That's kind of like the old rumor about the Coca-Cola recipe, right? Three people know it and they're not allowed on the same plane at the same time.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's the rumor.
Oh, that's kind of a neat mythology to keep.
I wouldn't be surprised if their PR people made that
up.
Yeah,
I like it though.
I do want to say also that that's not the only McLaren Jay Leno owns, right? I think he also has a P1.
I'm sure somewhere in there. Yeah, but even that, hard to believe, that's less valuable than, you know, as far as insurance goes, than the F1. You know, another one, if you don't mind my jumping ahead here, and jump in anytime here with your own, but Gordon Ramsay, celebrity chef Gordon Ramsay, quite the car guy. I had no idea.
Yeah.
But if you look around, you can find articles about Gordon Ramsay, receiving his latest Ferrari at, some event, some club event, or, some event that they're having at a racetrack, or, an open house of some sort. But he's got a lot of Ferraris in his garage. And in fact, one of them, a couple of them, he's got one LaFerrari that he bought. It's a special model. It's valued at, more than $3 million for just the one. He's got, an 812 Superfast. He's got a McLaren Senna. He's also got a Porsche 918 Spyder. He's got something called a BAC Mono, which is from Briggs Automotive Company. It's like a $250,000 single-seat race car, essentially, for the road. I mean, I know you say race car a lot, but when you look at this car, the BAC Mono, it's definitely a race car-looking car. It looks like an open-wheel race car almost. Really cool. Very, very cool thing to have. But I had no idea that I knew that they made a lot of money, but I didn't know that a celebrity chef made enough money to, be buying a $3 million Ferrari.
Well, doesn't that guy have like six shows on at any given time?
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, I don't know why I see him any different than like, some rock star or something, that makes just a pile of money for doing what they do. I mean, that's fantastic for him. I mean,
sure.
The guy's a car guy.
Yeah.
He loves it. He really does enjoy what he does. He drives his cars too, I think. So
that's a point for him. You know what, guys? I'm going to start keeping score. I'm going to start keeping score on this.
All right. Well, I said rock star. You guys find any rock stars that you found interesting on this list? Because it seems that people that are in that kind of rock and roll lifestyle also like to collect fast cars,
and sometimes even have cars custom built for them. Right? Like, I would say a lot of us know that Sammy Hagar has a car collection.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's a very well known one.
Oh yeah.
But if you remember the band Jamiroquai. No? No one? Mm-hmm. Kurt?
I do.
I vaguely remember. I don't think I could sing a song, but I remember that furry Dr. Seuss-esque hat.
Yeah.
Well, the front man of that outfit, a guy named JK, is a big car collector. He has some rare finds, too. He's got a Mercedes-Benz 300 SL. He's got the Porsche 911. He's got an Aston Martin DB6 Mark I. He's got cars where there were, just a very small, limited run made.
Yeah, yeah. The Gullwing Mercedes, I like those. Mm-hmm.
And
very cool.
Yeah, and not to be a jerk, but I was just where you are with Gordon Ramsay, and I thought, all right, Jamiroquai was successful, but did they make that much money? Because there were a lot of people in that band.
Maybe maybe JK has got his own side business going.
He's also
a producer or something. Who knows?
Yeah.
I mean, you just never know.
Or like he opened a restaurant like the Iron Sheik from wrestling or something.
Yeah, you're right. Maybe. Yeah, that's right. Right here in Atlanta, right?
Yeah, I think so.
No, I'm thinking of Abdullah the Butcher.
Oh,
here in Atlanta.
I might be thinking of Abdullah as well.
Who knows? Maybe they both went into it. It sounds like it's very lucrative from what I understand.
Well, the musician and rapper 50 Cent made most of his money off of vitamin water.
Oh, is that right?
That's true.
Oh, I didn't know
millions.
That. You know that, Kurt?
No.
I didn't know that either. How about this? Any of you guys Pink Floyd fans?
Yeah.
Pink Floyd?
Yeah, yeah.
You've heard of them, right, Kurt? I mean, Kurt's a young guy.
Yeah,
of course. He's
Dark Side of the Moon, I believe, was one of their records.
So understated.
I had you pegged as a Pink Floyd fan for some reason. I don't know why. But Nick Mason, drummer for Pink Floyd, he is a huge car collector. And I know that we've talked about Nick Mason in the past with his car collection. I believe he has an airport hangar somewhere loaded with cars, a huge fleet of Ferraris, as they like to say, a fleet of cars. I'd like to have a fleet of cars someday.
Yeah, man.
Closest I've ever car. I had three cars at one time, and that was it.
Is that a fleet, though? How many cars is in a fleet?
I don't know. I don't think it's three. We'll talk about the three later. It was nothing impressive like what Nick Mason has. Included in his car collection, he has the 512S that came from the Steve McQueen movie, the Le Mans.
Wow.
So that's kind of a cool one. I mean, I think most people can picture that car right off the bat. There's also a Jaguar that was of course, raced at Le Mans. With racing history, so that's kind of a cool thing. I would guess it's a Type D if I had to guess. And he's got a Bugatti. I think it's the racing type also, the Type 35, which is kind of that old, the one with the horseshoe radiator in the front.
Mm-hmm.
Usually painted in a light blue, open wheel, that kind of design. Very cool. But also, one other car that he's got in his collection, he's got many, many cars, by the way, but
Yeah, he has like two aircraft hangars.
Two? Okay. More than I thought even. But I know that he's regularly seen at shows around.
Yeah, he has two aircraft hangars, and even with all that space, they're parked so tight that they have maybe like approximately a foot apart from each. Which just makes me nervous thinking about it. You know what I mean?
That guy needs another aircraft hangar. I mean, really.
I mean, we've all run into that before.
Well, right? I sell one car, buy another aircraft hangar.
There you go. Get in front of it.
He's not, exactly. He's not using his head. All right, so one car in particular of his collection that I thought was pretty interesting. He owns a real Ferrari 250 GTO, which there are a lot of replicas out there, but this is one that this is funny because he wrote this about this car a long time ago. This is when he bought it in 1977. So, you know, Pink Floyd still touring, still, you know, wildly popular, making a lot of money. But he said at the time he paid £35,000 for the car in 1977. That car now, Ben and Kurt, can you imagine what that car is worth now? £30 million. £30 million. It went from £35,000 up to £30 million.
You know what? I got to say, too, I think he could get more because that's the kind of car you don't usually sell directly. You would auction it.
I guess. Yeah. I mean,
in 2018, the 64 250 GTO sold for $70 million.
Oh, gosh.
U.S. dollars.
You know,
right?
of course, this
yeah,
all.
Yeah, so how many pounds is that?
I normally do the calculation, but the thing is, like, initially, he also said, oh, man, you know, £35,000, this is a stupid deal. Why am I spending so much money on this car? Had no idea that when he hung on to it, that it was going to be worth this much money. I think initially, he also said that he liked driving. He said it was just a fun car to drive, and it was always working compared to some of his other cars in his collection. Even then, he had a small collection. And he said, you know, he'd take his kids to school, drive it through the carpool lane, that kind of thing. And it was just a fun car to be in. And of course, the kids loved it.
When you thought he couldn't get any cooler.
Yeah.
He did.
Exactly right. He just topped it. Yeah. Yeah.
He also, you know, as you said, he's a bit of a gearhead himself, you know. He was at the Goodwood Speed Festival, or Festival of Speed, excuse me, mm-hmm. As recently as 2016, and he's not a super young guy.
No.
He's like 75, I want to say.
I think he's older than that, maybe. Mm. I don't know. Seems like he would be older than that, right, at this point?
Yeah, I would think.
Maybe 5 years, maybe 10 years older at the most. But still, I'm still loving his car collection, and man, I still like it that he brings them out, too, because we get to, you know, we get to see them, I guess. You know, otherwise, it'd be locked away in that airplane hangar. Another gearhead. Well, you know what? I don't know if he's a gearhead or not, but he's a fan anyway. Jerry Seinfeld.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so Jerry Seinfeld, he's a comedian, of course, actor, also a car guy, mainly Porsche. He's a Porsche fan, and I think we all knew that from his Seinfeld days, right?
Yeah.
And we'd see the posters in the background, you know, on the set that, you know, there were always Porsche posters. But he's kind of associated with that now. That's his thing. That's his wheelhouse, you know. He collects them. He had at one point, I think it was 46 Porsches at some point in his collection, along with, you know, like Leno, he had, you know, a staff of people to take care of them and maintain them. He did sell some off in 2016 at an auction. He sold about 18 of them. So I guess, I mean, according to that count, he has about 28 left. But I would guess that since then, he's probably purchased more Porsches, if I had to guess. But I don't think that his collection is limited to just that. I mean, he seems to have an appreciation for all cars, especially with his comedy show, right?
Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee.
Yeah, that's right. Coffee, comedians, something like that. Yeah. In cars.
Yeah. Cars is the phrase cars is in the title. But yeah, that's where you can see, like, this surprised some people. A lot of those cars you see him driving in those shows, those are his cars. They're not rentals.
Yeah, and they're not Porsches, every one of them. I mean, there are some here and there, but he's got some really unusual cars there, which I find fascinating. I love watching people, kind of check out that car for the first time. Like, you expect me to get into this little tin can or, you know, whatever it is, this behemoth of a car that we're going to get into. It's always so funny to see the reaction of the person who has no idea what vehicle they're going to be driving.
Yeah.
Always funny. How about John Cena? Cena? I think it's Cena.
Cena. Yeah. Cena.
I'm not a wrestler.
The wrestler.
Fan. Yeah, yeah. Are you a wrestling fan, Kurt?
No.
Okay.
I went through a phase.
Pink Floyd, wrestling. What else? No, I'm just kidding. All right, so I'm not necessarily a wrestling fan, but I have watched wrestling, of course. He's also an actor. Mm-hmm. Most people now probably know him as an actor, I think. Mm-hmm. I would think at this point.
Yeah.
The wrestling was a few years ago. But this guy, he collects American Muscle cars. I think you would guess that, right, with John Cena.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, my next-door neighbor at home looks just like John Cena. Like, built like John Cena, looks like John Cena. He isn't John Cena. I've verified that. He's a security guard on movie sets here in town. I don't think he's just a security. I think he's like a maybe even a partner in the company that rents out security guards to, you know, movie sets, movie productions that are happening here in town, which is a cool business to be in. But the guy is just like, he's built like a mountain, this guy, but he looks just like John Cena. And so every time I see him, I think of, you know, his films, or, you know, think of him anyway. But he does collect these American Muscle cars. He's got things like, you know, Buicks and Cougars and Charters and AMC cars. He's got just a bunch of really cool old American iron muscle cars, which I think is a great collection to have. You don't see too many people collecting those these days. Any celebrities with a lot of money, they're collecting typically the exotics.
Sure.
Yeah. Cena has a 89 Jeep Wrangler in his collection.
Does he really?
Yeah.
Now that sounds like something I might have in my collection. That's not as impressive.
That's one thing I did love while I was reading on, for some reason it happened with a lot of musicians too. I was reading about their collections, and you would see these long screeds of stuff like the Lamborghini, you know, the Aston Martin, the very rare Porsche, or so on. And then would be like, and of course, their 1986, you know, Land Rover. Or it's like, well, and their trusty Ranger pickup truck.
Yeah, you know, that's the one they take to the gym or to the mall.
Yeah, and it's probably their favorite one.
It probably is, yeah. Cause it's the one that works every time you turn the key. That's the thrust behind having a car like that in your collection, is one that you can always count on, right? You got the Toyota Corolla, and then you've also got the Ferrari FXX. How about this one? Floyd Mayweather. I'll get the name. So pro boxer, champion pro boxer, right?
Mm-hmm.
This guy is said to own more than 100 cars. Now, you typically only see a few of his at a time, but this is also a person that, you know, he'll go into town, into Vegas for a big fight, and while he's there, he'll pick up, you know, a Rolls Royce, pick up a McLaren, pick up whatever, and have, you know, the photo shoot outside the casino where he's fighting, you know, with the cars, you know, that kind of showiness to it. So it's always fascinating to see what Mayweather has with him, or he'll have several of the same vehicle. In fact, he's known to buy multiples of the same car. If he likes the style, if he likes the design of the car, he'll pick up several of the same type of vehicle. So if he likes the Bugatti, which is an incredible car to want to have multiples of, he does. He has, I think I want to say like three, he might have three Bugattis, I believe, at least three.
That's pretty wild.
He also has a Bugatti Chiron. Now, the Chiron is that special model that we had seen. And the one that they showed in the photograph in the article that I was looking for, it's the one that looks almost like it's coming right out of a game, like a racing game. It's that light blue, dark blue combination. Looks like a race car. Looks like a cartoon of itself, really.
Mm-hmm.
Valued somewhere around $3.5 million just for that one vehicle. He also has, you know, Koenigsegg, which is valued somewhere around $5 million, I believe. Lamborghinis, Rolls Royce, McLarens, Bentleys, you know, a lot of luxury vehicles as well. So it's not just sports cars with him. A lot of flash, though. A lot of flash in Floyd Mayweather's collection.
Also read that he has a color-coded car collection as well.
Really?
He keeps white cars in Miami. And he has a garage full of black cars in Los Angeles.
What an interesting problem to have, man.
You're kidding me.
Yeah.
It's a different world, I'm telling you.
It really is, yeah.
I think that's a little too cool for school.
Yeah, that's just one of those things.
Oh, man.
You know who's not too cool for school, though? I'll throw a name out there.
Okay.
That may be a surprise to some of us in the audience today. You guys remember Mr. Bean?
Yes.
Rowan Atkinson, like, has a car collection. I guess it's not too surprising because he's been on Top Gear and stuff. He is known for his luxury car collection. He also has an F1, and he has an Aston Martin V8 Vantage, I think. And these are just two examples. He has some really top-end, very nice cars. But he's also as well known for wrecking cars as he is for collecting them.
Yes.
Like, the guy has two lead feet.
I will tell you this. I remember talking about Rowan Atkinson. Rowan Atkinson, is that his name?
Mm-hmm.
Rowan Atkinson's car collection only because of the F1 accidents. He has crashed, you know, that F1 that we were just talking about with Leno's collection, and
yeah,
other people have one as well. Ralph Lauren, I believe, has one too. He has crashed that F1 twice.
Yes.
And had it rebuilt.
Yeah.
So he is definitely a driver of these vehicles. But he's probably, you know, it's funny, out of all those cars that he has, the best in his collection, he's probably most well known for the car that he drove as Mr. Bean, right? That Mini.
Oh,
the,
yeah.
The Mini Cooper, right, which is so funny. I mean, it's just, it's a great car, don't get me wrong, but you know, it's just kind of comical to think of him in that versus the cars that he actually drives in real life. Can I mention another one that I think is just a bit absurd on this list?
Yes,
all
please.
Right, so I don't really know about this, and you tell me what you think, the both of you. Listeners can chime in on this, too. You know how when celebrities show up to, you know, red carpet events, they arrive in some amazing vehicle, you know, Rolls-Royce Ghost or, you know, a pink Bentley or, you know, whatever they happen,
yeah,
whatever it happens to
yeah,
be.
Yeah.
How often do you think that I just wonder if that's their car or if that's just like a car I'm borrowing from this producer that I know, this music producer that I know or this actor that I know or whatever. I wonder if it's really their car or not, because the next person on this list, she has the means to get these cars, of course, to buy these cars. I just don't see her as a car person. It's Kim Kardashian. We've been on the air a long time. I don't think we've ever talked about Kim Kardashian on Car Stuff.
I don't believe we have. Well, I think that is untrammeled territory for us, my friend.
It could be, but although, you know, her husband, I could see us talking about Kanye West. I think maybe we have mentioned Kanye West, but she is a reality TV star, for those of you that don't know, but apparently she has, you know, a lot of luxury cars, and I don't know if she's kept all of them. You know, again, some of these might be on loan from, you know, from dealers in the area that just want their product to be seen with Kim Kardashian, and that happens a lot. But she's been seen in Maybach, Rolls-Royce, the, you know, Rolls-Royce Ghost and Phantom models, of course, Ferraris. I guess she has this whole fleet of luxury sport exotics over the years that I don't really know if she's hanging on to them, if, you know, if they're keeping them or not, or if she and Kanye own them together, or what's going on there. But it's kind of a strange thing. I don't know. What do you think? Do you think Kim Kardashian is really a car person?
I am very tempted to say no, but that also feels a little bit unfair because, you know, I've never met Kim. So yeah. Who knows? She might be changing the oil right now. She might be dropping a fuel tank and replacing something.
Probably. You know, I envision that she's probably at like a pull apart there in Los Angeles, and she's frustrated that someone has put, you know, the differential from the car that she needs
right
in the truck bed of the vehicle next to it. She's probably like kicking stuff around and angry.
Probably, you know? Haggling.
Probably. Yeah. She's got that wheelbarrow, you know, that they give you, you know, to carry your parts and mm-hmm. tools and things, and she's probably like super frustrated right now about that situation.
Probably.
Yeah. It's a very likely scenario, mm-hmm. I think. Yeah. All right. Well,
are you done with that one? You done with that? You're going to feel so bad if it turns out that she is.
She might, you know what, for
she's
all
a
we
real
know, I mean,
monkey wrench.
We
yeah.
really have, we don't have any idea, but I just don't picture her as a car person. I don't know. I've never seen grease under her fingers.
And social media is so performative that if she was a big car person, it follows by being a social media influencer that she would be more public about it.
I would think so.
Right?
I would think so. All right, here's one. Donald Trump. Didn't expect me to say that name, did you? But Donald Trump, he
None.
Apparently in the past has had a fleet of Rolls-Royce cars, limos, luxury cars, that type of thing, as you might expect with the wealth that he had in his youth and even now. He, of course, was born into a very wealthy family, but mm-hmm. he must be a car guy also because he had Rolls-Royce build him a replica of his favorite car, his first car, which was a 1956 Rolls-Royce Silver Cloud, of all things. I mean, it's a very mm-hmm. ornate, beautiful-looking car. It's really, really cool, but it's just somebody I don't picture as being a car person.
What a great and weird first car to have.
Oh, I know. A 56 Rolls-Royce.
I would not give a 16-year-old a 56 anything.
Well, as you said before, it's a different world, isn't
it's
it?
Different
I mean,
world.
It really is a different world. How about, oh, here's a good one. I like this one. This is one completely out of left field for me. I had no idea. Another comedian. Any guesses? Another comedian.
I've got a couple of guesses, but they might all be wrong.
Okay.
Okay, people who know they're comedians?
Yeah, people who know they're comedians,
okay,
yes.
Okay, so Nicolas Cage is out, but he has a great collection.
He does, we'll get to that.
Tim Allen?
Nope.
Oh.
But he's also on the list, so we'll get to him too.
Okay.
I'm thinking of Gabriel Iglesias.
And, really?
Yeah. Now, I had no idea that he was into cars either, but his very first car was a 1968 VW Transporter. And he has, with his success, you know, television and, you know, comedy, has amassed a fortune and decided to purchase a collection of Volkswagen buses and Beetles, of course, a rare collection, you know, the rarities, $3 million collection of cars that he owns. And he has even built a minivan, I guess, minivan and Beetles, of course, mm-hmm. a museum. That strictly for like his VWs, and it's a huge facility. It's apparently meant to look a lot like the German factory that they were originally produced in. So, Gabriel Iglesias has this massive collection of VW buses and Beetles. I had no idea, and I've seen photos of them. Pretty incredible stuff. And I don't know if it's open to the public or not, or if it's just, you know, special invite or what. But fantastic collection. I guess if you get a chance to see it.
Yeah.
Why not?
That's super cool. And yeah. I got to say, this is just a personal aesthetic of mine, but I tend to be more drawn to the collections where someone clearly had this theme or, you know, in the case of like Seinfeld, something bordering on an obsession. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I understand, you know, if we're collectors, if we have that wherewithal, you know, like Scott, when you had your fleet, we want to vary it. So that we have some variety, right?
Yeah.
So to me, it's even more kind of opulent and living the high life for someone to say, yeah, I could buy one of every muscle car, but I think I'm just going to buy VW wagons, man.
VW wagons.
That's all I'm going to do. You know, get another hanger because I need some more wagons.
I mean, there's like a true passion there, a true love at that point, right?
Yeah.
Okay, here's another one that I question. I'm not sure. I can't see this person being a car person, but you never know again. Ellen DeGeneres. Do you see Ellen DeGeneres as being a car person?
Interesting.
Yeah, now, I mean, she drives a fantastic car around town. I guess she's regularly... seen in a Ferrari California around town, just kind of that's her commuter car, getting, you know,
a Ferrari's her daily driver.
Well, getting to and from the studio and, you know, wherever she goes. But she also has a love of Porsche cars. I guess she has several of those right now and, you know, keeps them in her garage. You know, she must have a large mansion type home, but she keeps a collection of Porsches there as well. I don't know what the number of Porsches that she has there. Of course, this is a comedian, talk show host, made her money doing that. Probably mostly talk show host, but to drive around in a Ferrari California all day, that's not bad. But I don't think that she's like, you know, to the point where she's buying multiple Ferraris either. I think that, you know, she just decided I like that one. It's convertible. It's a cool car. It's going to work when I, you know, turn the key and I can get to, you know, my Pilates class or wherever she goes. I don't know. You find that funny, Kurt? Sorry, I didn't mean to.
Does that amuse you?
No, Kurt, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. But where would Ellen go? I mean, besides the studio.
Grocery store. Yeah. Second home.
She's a dancer, right?
Gas station.
The beach.
Yeah, oh, the beach. I can see you're going to the beach.
Yeah.
The mountains.
Yeah.
To do some skiing.
Yeah, could be.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, if you're Ellen DeGeneres and you got a Ferrari, I mean, you might.
I guess you wouldn't go to places with speed bumps.
Yeah, good point. All right, how about another rocker, James Hetfield, frontman for Metallica. I think a lot of people probably knew that he has a collection, but he collects classic cars, hot rods, that type of thing. He's got like he goes way back though, like 1930s Lincolns. He's got an Auburn Roadster. He's got a 53 Buick Skylark. He also has a 56 Ford F-150. He's got cars like that, you know, like American Muscle type cars and also some really interesting old cars that are custom, you know, customized in some way, you know, to you would expect a Metallica frontman to the ways that you would expect them to do that, I guess, have that kind of look, that appearance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of like in the same vein of the ZZ Top. Car.
Yeah, ooh. Yeah, a lot like that, I think, probably. You know, where there's custom body work and, you know, extra fenders and a lot of chrome and that kind of thing. Here's one that you mentioned before, Ben, Tim Allen.
Oh, yeah, Tim Allen. He's the guy who, what was that show he did, the sitcom that was real successful?
Home Improvement?
Yeah, that's the one where you never saw his neighbor's face. That guy was the best part of the show.
Last Man Standing. He's still got some cars on that, too.
God, he has muscle cars, right? He's a muscle car guy.
He's mostly classic cars, of all types. I think he's even had some custom built specifically for him. He's definitely a car guy from way back. And as far as I know, I mean, as far as I remember, a big Ford guy as well. I don't know if that's specifically the vehicles that he collects or not, but I know the Ford has a special place in his heart, too. Patrick Dempsey, the actor. He has a collection. I don't know exactly the details of Patrick Dempsey's collection, but I did hear that he's held on to one car that he's had in particular. I guess when he arrived in L.A., he had a Porsche that he was driving. I want to say it's a 1963 356, and he has held on to that car the whole time. He said, you know, that was the car that I had when, you know, I wasn't successful at all. It was just my getting around town car, and he's held on to it now. It's probably fairly valuable now at this point. I mean, not only because it's Patrick Dempsey's car, but also because, you know, just hold on to something long enough like that, it becomes a classic, right? But it's in good shape. And he said, you know, it's just something that, you know, is something near and dear to his heart, and he's going to hang on to it, in addition to all these other supposedly fantastic cars that he's got in his collection. Not supposedly, you know, fantastic. I'm sure they are. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
I also heard the guy who plays Captain America in the Marvel films is a car guy, Chris Evans.
Oh, okay.
He also gets Ferraris. He's got a Ferrari 250 GT, California Spider, and that's the McQueen's, one of Steve McQueen's.
Oh, really?
And then
that's cool.
He also used to own the original Chitty Chitty Bang Bang car.
I don't know why I find that so funny.
He might still own it.
That's cool.
He tried to sell it in 2015, and I don't think anybody really wanted it.
Oh, no. That's terrible.
Well, you know.
I would buy that car. Come on. I remember that. I remember that from when I was a kid, Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. Flying car. How could you not want a flying car? I mean, we haven't talked about flying cars in a long time.
Scott, I've got some news for you, man.
I'm joking. Everybody knows my... hatred for flying cars.
You talked to me, Dad. You know, it's one of the biggest disagreements we've had on this show, but I think we got to a reasonable place for anyone who doesn't remember this long-standing, corporate America would call it a healthy conversation.
Sure.
This long-standing debate. Scott, you're very anti-flying cars.
Very.
And I am very anti-people other than me having flying cars. I feel like as long as I'm the only one who has one, it'll be great.
That's perfectly reasonable.
Yeah. It's like, you know, if you're surrounded by defensive drivers and you're the only jerk being an offensive driver.
Yeah, you're okay.
You're okay.
Yeah, why not?
And could you imagine how hectic it would be up there if everyone had a flying car?
One of my many, many points.
A2 Brute.
Yeah.
Wow.
We will have to. You know what, Kurt? We haven't ever brought you in on this this flying car conversation.
No, but I could get into it.
We are going to have to do that.
Forward to the future.
Yeah, we definitely will because, you know, there probably have been some advancements or at least some kind of movement. I wouldn't say advancements.
You've never wished you could just fly over the traffic jam?
Oh, I wish that all the time, Kurt, but it's a terrible idea. Okay. It's a terrible idea. For anybody, it's a terrible idea.
Here we go.
No, you know what? I'm going to cut myself off here.
Well, yeah.
I just want to note also. Point of order, and we can table this for a later episode. But Scott, you have been on record in favor of things like homemade helicopters. Didn't you see a guy in a homemade helicopter up like north of town?
I have, and I don't think I'm on record for liking them. I think I'm on record for disliking the homemade ones.
All right, well, I'm going to listen back to the tape.
Well, you know, possibly, okay, here's, I'm trying to think of how I stood on this, because I was not in favor of it being directly overhead, that's for sure. but I would be in favor of having that, you know, quick transport across town. I mean, that'd be fantastic.
Right, so helicopters are everywhere. What gives?
We're in a building that could easily have a helipad on top. I mean, easily.
Oh, yeah.
Along with everything that's already up there right now, all that crap that's up there.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah,
Have you been up there recently?
There's a skating rink up there, Ben. And a slide. There's a slide. I think that there is a putt-putt golf course.
Uh-huh.
There's a bar.
There's some carnival rides.
Yeah, carnival rides. There's games, you know, games of skill. Which are probably rigged, I don't know.
There's like a club and three restaurants. The roof is way cooler than our office.
And you
just have to admit
easily
that.
Land a helicopter up there. You really could.
Sure.
I mean, there's so much space up there. So I would be in favor of that, but man, when it was hovering over my car, no way. No way.
All right, man.
No.
Okay.
That'd be something to dive into, though.
Oh, yeah.
Ultralight aircraft as well.
Oh, yeah.
Just how, like,
okay.
I mean, I used to see one as a kid flying over, and it never dawned on me how insane that whole activity
make
is.
Make a note here. Make a note. Kurt,
wow,
is asking for it.
Yeah, you came in, Kurt.
Okay,
man, you
exclamation point!
You've come in fairly recently to a very long, long-standing debate and conversation.
Oh, why don't we just make them all electric flying cars? How about that? Electric flying cars. That's the best idea ever.
See, what's happening right now is our esteemed co-host and I are making, like, it's like we're playing Go or we're playing the initial moves of a game of chess. This is all for another episode, what just happened. I'm going to check the tape. Anyway, we were having such fun, car collections.
Yeah, okay, I'll get back to it. How about this? Well, let's talk about another Porsche owner, Porsche collector, Magnus Walker. Now, Magnus Walker, he's kind of a counterculture type of guy. He was a clothing designer, and from what I understand, this guy was running just a t-shirt stand. I don't even know if it was a shop. It was just a stand, they said. I don't know if that means a cart or what, but on Venice Beach or Venice Boulevard. And decided that, you know, along the way, he got bigger and, you know, he kind of grew in popularity, of course. With his money, decided that he was going to start collecting Porsches. And he's one to modify them. He's not one to keep them all pristine and, you know, from the factory original or anything like that. But Magnus Walker, very interesting guy to talk to. I mean, I've heard interviews with him and seen some of his finished products. Very, very cool. Lots of YouTube material out there about the guy, and mm-hmm. he's just an interesting character. If you want to look into someone who's a Porsche collector that has a lot of heart, I think that's him. He really has a love for it. Paul Walker. Paul Walker, the former actor.
Fast and Furious, yeah.
Yeah, deceased, but he's, of course, best known for those Fast and Furious movies, but has an amazing car collection or had an amazing car collection. I don't know what the current status of that is. I don't know if they were selling that or if, you know, if it was like an auction thing or if they're going to open it up to the public or what, but had many, many cars that were pretty cool. There's some from the movie, of course, you know, the cars like in the movie or the actual movie cars themselves, but, you know, some interesting BMWs. He had a lot of import cars that were tuned, of course, you know, like as you would expect out of, you know, somebody in that film. But just a fascinating car collection. You should look into it and see if you can find a good list of what was in there. Okay, here's another one that I have a question about. This is another rocker guy. I don't know, retired, semi-retired maybe. Steven Tyler.
Aerosmith.
Yeah, Aerosmith. Yeah, that's right. Front man from Aerosmith. You know, the guy with the scarves around the mic. Kind of like the scarf you got wrapped around your mic, Ben.
Scarf everything. Yeah, I'm clearly inspired by Steven Tyler here. It's the whole reason I got into podcasting.
It's a good look.
Thanks, man.
Yeah,
thanks.
I like it. I don't know how you read your notes through that, though.
They're on the scarf. They're written on the scarf. Actually, you know, now you mentioned it, that guy... Our pal from Stuff to Blow Your Mind, Joe McCormick, mm-hmm. he is the one who hipped me to Steven Tyler's country album.
Oh.
And that guy is going into country now.
Is he?
Yeah. It's not for me. But,
okay. I didn't know that.
Yeah, I love country music, and I just don't agree with what he's done to it.
Okay. All right. Fair enough.
But Aerosmith, solid band.
Yeah, I like Aerosmith.
I had no idea he was a car collector.
Yes, he is. And I here's the thing. I'm going to put this in the questionable category because I think he likes cars. I think he's a car guy. I don't know if he necessarily has a large collection. If he does, I haven't seen anything written about it. I haven't seen photographs of him with a large collection. I've only seen him with individual vehicles that are pretty amazing. Mm-hmm. And in fact, the most recent one, I'll tell you about a couple others first. He has a Panos Roadster. He also has a couple of turbo Porsches, and I think he had a Lotus Elise, and you know those types of cars along the way. One car that is his most recent purchase, or at least the one that's most publicized anyway, was a Hennessy Venom GT Spider. Now this is a car that was known, I think, as the it was like the top speed production vehicle from a couple of years back. I don't know if I don't have exactly all the right words put together in the right way for that record to be true. It's like the fastest accelerator. I can't remember what it was exactly, but it's the Hennessy Venom GT Spider. And he had a Spider version. He had a Spider version made specifically for himself. It's a black vehicle. You'll see him standing next to it. If you type in Google, do a word search, you know, with his name in that vehicle, you'll find it. Impressive car, very expensive, of course, but man, it's a great vehicle. Not many people have those, by the way. All right, one more that's a questionable, and you know, there's a few here that are questionable. I'll just laundry list them real quick. Janet Jackson, who is known to have many luxury vehicles, she has a couple of Lamborghinis, which are sports cars, of course, but she has a Bentley and Aston Martin. I don't know. I haven't seen many more cars listed than that, but they call her like a luxury car collector. But that's only four cars that I count, so I don't know. I mean, what do you guys think? Do you think Janet Jackson is likely a car person as well? I kind of get that same Kim Kardashian feel out of Janet Jackson.
Yeah, if you have the money and the means, I feel like why not be seen in nice cars?
Yeah.
Sure. Janet Jackson, Kim Kardashian, anybody. Yeah.
Is it your guess?
Does it make you a collector, though?
Well, yeah, I mean, is it your guess? Like, how many do you have to have a collection? Because she's got four really nice cars that are worth way more than anything I'll ever own, probably, you know? And she's got, again, four of them at a time. Mm-hmm. But she doesn't have like 15 or 20 or 50 or 100 like a lot of these other collectors
do.
Yeah,
to me, a collector, I mean, you can have a collection of five cars, four cars, but sure. You would have to kind of be going for that, I guess. So you'd have to have a reason behind it.
Yeah.
And maybe to some of these folks, these cars are just nice things to have.
Yeah.
In addition to all the other nice things one could possibly have.
Well, sure. At a certain level, it's kind of like you're buying art. If you don't care about cars, if you're not planning to drive them, you might just say, I want this because this feels very luxurious and beautiful. It's kind of like just because somebody buys a very expensive oil painting, that doesn't make them a painter.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I was thinking about that too earlier, that, you know, with all the money that actors and, you know, celebrities and, I guess, chefs and rockers and whoever, you know, they all make so much money at what they do, and they can buy just about anything they want. Some of them buy jewelry. Some of them buy artwork, like you said. Some of them buy clothes. Some of them buy real estate. You
know, Fabergé eggs.
Yeah.
Like Krusty the Clown.
he breaks them against the wall. There's any number of things that you can buy, but you could be a car person or a car guy or car girl and still appreciate cars, but maybe only have, you know, one or two cars and still enjoy them. But you also have, you know, every other luxury that life can afford, you know, that you can afford in your life. So, I don't know. That's where I get kind of hung up on this. Like, what is a true car collection? What does it take to have a collection versus just, I have an interest in this and I have, you know, three, four or five of them? Between, you know, there's a big difference between that and someone who, you know, buys an aircraft hangar and parks 50 of them 1 foot apart.
Well, I was looking up while we were recording, I was looking up the, you know, any hard definition of a fleet or a collection.
Mm-hmm.
And typically, the best definition is that a fleet is at least two or more cars. So yes, Scott, in a way you did have a fleet.
Oh, wow.
However, some insurance places have a higher cutoff. They won't allow fleet insurance unless you have, you know, like five or maybe 10 plus vehicles or something like that.
Right.
And that depends. Always shop around with insurance.
So I technically had a fleet of cars at one point for a very short time.
Yeah.
Very short time.
Well, how was it, like an afternoon?
Well, I've had, unfortunately, sometimes fortunately, but usually unfortunately, I've had more than one car at one time. It ends up being unfortunately at some point. But for a short time, I did have three, and they were all, you know, running, driving cars, and they were all, I loved them. They were great, but I also realized I had to, you know, let one or two of them go at some point. At the time, it was just one. I let one go, and then
that's tough.
A little sad, and then, you know, something else takes its place, and then another one goes. So, you know, try to maintain two at all time, but right now I'm down to just one.
Yeah.
There's three in the family.
Right.
You know, my wife and daughter drive as well, but I just have the one, and it's, I don't know. I wish I had an extra one.
You got rid of the Newport, man.
I did, yeah. Yeah. Anyways, sad day.
I mean, I feel you. I'm about to...
That was about 14 months ago.
Yeah, I'm about to get rid of or say goodbye to my Monte Carlo. I still have it. It's just...
So technically, you've got a fleet right now of two cars,
mm-hmm. Yeah,
right?
This is what it's like at the top, gentlemen.
The Escape. We'll have to, you know what? Can we talk about the Escape in the next episode?
Yeah, if you want,
all right,
sure.
Well, maybe we'll do that right off the top in the next episode, because
right.
I forgot to ask you in this one. Holy cow. What was I thinking?
Oh, yeah. I know. I'm picking up what you're putting down. No, yeah. I haven't wrecked it yet. I have not Mr. Beaned it into a tree.
Mr. Beaned it. Yeah, okay. All right. Here's another one. Lady Gaga. That's probably the first time Lady Gaga has also been mentioned in car stuff, but if I had to guess. But apparently she has a 65 Lincoln Continental that she absolutely adores, loves that vehicle, and also drives a Ford Bronco, which is a nice choice. But she also has three Rolls Royces that she drives around town, or at least has driven around town. I don't know if she drives them herself or not, but I would guess if those other two cars are hers, she probably drives the Rolls Royce as well. But that's five cars. That's getting closer to a proper collection, I guess. Someone who does have a proper collection, Simon Cowell. Simon Cowell's got a lot of vehicles. And this is odd because I just never picked him as a car guy until one day. This is a while back, a few years ago. And this is right at the – I guess American Idol's still on, right? It's still there. But this was fairly early on in American Idol. It was you know, peak popularity still. And I'm sure it's still very popular. But I see this photo of Simon Cowell, and he's in a Bugatti Veyron. And I had no idea up until that point that he was like a car guy. So I was really just shocked to see that. I don't know why, but just didn't have him picked as a, you know, an upper-end exotic sports car type of guy.
I've read about his collection before, and he definitely appreciates the vehicles, but you wouldn't know. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I guess because like most people in the United States, I only heard of the guy or experienced any sort of any of his work from those different reality shows, mm-hmm. those American Idols and things like that. So I don't really associate him with car culture.
Have you ever seen, he's got a car called the Jaguar Eagle Speedster. Have you ever seen that one? It's a lot like a Jaguar E-Type, only you have to imagine it's like a completely updated Jaguar E-Type, and it's valued somewhere around, the approximate value of this car starts around $1 million. So you can imagine what that vehicle is loaded with.
Wow.
But he's got one of those apparently as well. So the guy definitely likes his sports cars. He's got a decent collection from what I hear. Maybe the last one on my list here. Oh, you know what? Not the last one. Second to last. We talked about Nicolas Cage. Nicolas Cage has a pretty impressive collection. One car in particular that gets a lot of attention in his collection is a Ford Mustang. It was a 1967 Shelby GT500 that is, I guess, a reproduction of Eleanor. And it's the Eleanor Mustang that is from that movie that he was in, the Gone in 60 Seconds movie, which is, of course, a remake as well. But the Eleanor Ford Mustang gets a lot of press in his collection. He does, however, have a Jaguar D-Type, and I found this interesting, he also has Bugattis with an S at the end. That's multiple Bugattis.
So well, he's, come on.
Yeah.
No, I believe you. I'm just like, come on.
Oh, yeah, I know. Nicolas Cage, he makes a pile of money doing his films, though. So, yeah, of course, he can afford what he wants, and I guess he likes Bugattis, likes sports cars. The Jaguar D-Type, that's pretty impressive as well. All right, last one on the list, and this is at least my list anyway. If you got any more to throw in there, please do. This is a surprise to me, but I don't know why. Jamaican sprinter Usain Bolt.
Oh, yeah. Why does he need to drive?
Yeah.
I get it.
The guy just run wherever he wants to go, right?
Yeah,
only short
true.
Distances, though. I watch, you know, just today I was watching his record-breaking 100-meter run from back in the Olympics.
Uh-huh.
And I think it was 2009. The guy did the 100 meters in 9.58 seconds. I think I could take him. I think I could beat him.
I was just going to say that, yeah.
Yeah, I have kind of like a frame built for quick running, like a sprinting like that, you know?
Yeah,
you guys have probably noticed that, you know, here in
the... They call you the cheetah at the office.
Yeah, I would guess that.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't have the custom plate on my car yet or anything, but mm-hmm. it's probably coming.
You know what you should do? You should get a vanity plate that says the cheetah, and you should start driving around that gold-wrapped car that we saw outside of the office yesterday.
That's a fantastic idea.
You need to start dressing in all yellow.
I could do this. I really could do this.
I feel like this could be a big move for you, man.
But
2020.
I mean, really, I feel like I haven't, I just haven't made like the official challenge to the time yet, you know, and
yeah.
It's probably coming. So just watch for that, everybody.
It's just scheduling and emails.
It really is.
That's
it's tough getting around to it. I know the Olympics are coming up 2020.
Mm-hmm.
I got some things on my schedule already. We'll see.
You're like Bob Dylan dropping out of the Nobel Literature Prize. You've got stuff to do.
I do. But I mean, really, to be honest, he's got, several Ferraris in his collection, which I never would have guessed this from Usain Bolt. I don't know why I wouldn't have, but it kind of makes sense, though. The guy likes to run fast. He likes to drive fast. He's all about speed.
He's into the speed?
I guess so.
I will add just a couple of more here. Maybe, Kurt, you and I can trade off if you've got some, too. Eric Clapton, when I was younger, I did not know the extent of his love for cars. It's such that in his autobiography that came out in 2007, he spends a lot of time talking about how much he loves classic cars. Mm. And of course, Ferraris. He has multiple Ferraris. One of the most unique cars in his collection is a specially commissioned one-off Ferrari 458. And he paid £3 million for it when he bought it.
I hear that he has trouble shifting his Ferraris, though.
Yeah.
He's got that nickname Slow Hand, right?
Yes.
So he's not very good at the gear switches. I mean, it's like, you know, anytime he's beat by an automatic every time.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's a great tragedy that really propels a lot of his work.
It is. I know. Sad when you get a collection like that, you just can't really use it to its advantage, you know.
And then, of course, honorable mention to Idris Elba, the actor, who, you know, I didn't know this, but growing up, his father worked for Ford.
Oh.
And so he kind of grew up in a car culture of sorts, or at least adjacent to it. And he loves racing so much that he made a deal with BBC to make a documentary called Idris Elba, King of Speed. And it's just him going around the world, taking part in different races, which is kind of living the dream.
I was going to say, it's not a bad gig if you can get it, right?
Right.
I mean, that's nice. It'd be pretty cool.
Going back to Usain Bolt, he is apparently a mobility guru. He has a scooter company and an electric car that his company announced. This is a $10,000, sub-$10,000 electric car, very small. Called the B Nano.
I don't know why cool. I find that so funny. B Nano. Okay, so did we talk about?
So he's a
Bolt,
car guy.
Did we talk about Bolt electric vehicles when we were talking about the scooters? I don't know if we did or not, but I had no idea that he was into that.
Yeah,
is it
me
now,
either? Until
okay,
now.
I'm going to ask you one follow up question.
Okay.
Is all this happening in Jamaica or is this somewhere else? I don't know where he currently lives. Or if you don't know, that's fine. I'm just curious where this is all happening.
No, in France, it looks like.
Okay.
At least right now, just based on my limited research.
Sure. Okay, well, that's interesting. Man, I had no idea he was into all that stuff.
Me either.
I was just running. I figured he was just running so fast we didn't know what he was up to because we can't.
Yeah, he's diversifying.
Oh, catch up with him for an interview.
Oh, man.
Why wouldn't you, with a last name like Bolt, get into the electric game?
It's interesting that you say this, and I know you're joking, but there's a scientific phenomenon concerning this. And Scott, I think maybe you and I have talked about it in the past, just because we have done the show for so long. It's called nominative determinism, meaning that someone whose name is something like Toothman really does seem to be statistically more likely to become a dental hygienist or a dentist.
Isn't that why your nickname is Tenpin?
Yep, that is why my nickname is Tenpin, because I am a terror of bowling alleys. And I mean a terror as in I am embarrassingly bad. It's if you ever want an ego boost, you're feeling down, and we happen to be in the same part of this great country, just hit me up via email and I will go lose a bowling game to you. And I promise I'll try. I won't swing it. I'm just terrible.
Yeah. Last time I bowled, which was the first time I bowled pretty much ever since I was a kid.
Yeah.
Several years ago. My first roll was a strike.
Nice.
And then I didn't hit anything else for the rest of the game.
Really?
I couldn't find the magic again.
Came out of the gate hard, but then just
yeah,
lost
I couldn't
it.
Believe. I thought I was going to be a natural at it though.
Bring out the bumpers.
I'm so bad that one time a guy in the next lane over was convinced that I was like sharking people, doing whatever the bowling alley version of pool sharking is.
I guess you could be a bowling shark, right?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I'm sure that's is that film Kingpin about that?
Yeah, sure it is. I guess, well, kind of, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry, I've digressed.
Is why I love $100 bills as well. I'm all about the Benjamins.
That's right.
I really am, yeah. But the problem is I don't get too many of them, so I have to hang on to and covet the ones that I have.
You know? I've seen you, like, legitimately confused when people give you change. You know, and you're
he's like just staring at us.
He's like, what about, I don't touch anything less than 100, you know what I mean?
Oh, sure. Sure. Yeah, that's me.
It's you.
Yep.
Like that time.
You have to like drop it on the floor. And then he still just walks away. He doesn't even put his hand.
That's right.
But we're just scratching the surface of these amazing car collections. Each one of them, you know, could be an episode where we just go over each vehicle. But for now, hopefully we've surprised some people. What else? Do you have anything else, Kurt, that's really stuck out in your head?
I don't really. No.
Oh.
Wyclef Jean is a car
collector. Oh, that's
right.
We didn't even mention Wyclef Jean.
Of the Fugees.
Yeah. He doesn't talk too much about it. People see him around town or he makes an appearance somewhere with one of his cars, but apparently he has quite a stable.
Hmm.
I think he's one of those guys who has like that range of fancy cars and then like one that's clearly, this is your car you go to a Wednesday soccer practice with. Because, like, you'll see the list where it's, like, a McLaren F1, a Bentley Arnage, a Rolls-Royce Phantom, and then a Cadillac.
Chevy Chevette.
A Chevy Chevette, finally.
Yeah. I could see that happening. All right. Well, I don't know if we have a whole lot more to add to this list, but I would love it if listeners would chime in with maybe some of their favorite car collections that they've seen or, you know, that they know of. You know, maybe it's the guy down the street. Maybe it's the girl down the street. Maybe it's somebody that you know that is a small-time actor that is building a collection or sometime hoping to build a collection in the near future. But whatever the case may be, you can always check in with us on social media. We're on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. We are CarStuffHSW at all three of those places. Of course, you can search our podcast archives at iHeart.com, and you can also, there was another place you can go. You can go to Apple Podcasts, right?
Right.
You can leave feedback at either one of those places.
Mm-hmm.
And check out our archives there. Now, I will tell you this. I think you pointed this out last time you were here, Ben, that on Apple Podcasts, you only get the most recent 300 episodes. But if you go to iHeart.com, you can get the full Monty. Everything there, right? The full Monty. Is that the right? That's not the right use of that. I hope it. You don't want to get the full Monty
now.
There.
Is full Monty?
Is that
are we going to have to bleep
joke?
That out?
It is. It is. No,
no. Leave it in. Leave it in.
You know, I'll. Don't go there expecting that. But you can go to iHeart.com and check out all 900 plus episodes we have, and hopefully not the full Monty.
And also, if you go to our Facebook page, you can interact with our favorite part of the show, your fellow listeners. It's a great place to recommend topics that you think would be of interest for the future. And it's a great place to follow up, because just because this episode is over does not mean the conversation has ended. And hey, I'm just going to put it out there. If you are someone who has an amazing car collection, we want to hear from you. We'd love to get some pics as well.
Absolutely. That'd be great.
Thanks for listening, everyone.
Car Stuff is a production of iHeartRadio's How Stuff Works. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.